287-1227.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
When someone really knows the battle is not theirs, there's a fruit that they bear. Let's take a look. He said in verse 16, "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel." He says here, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Verse 17, here's three fruit that we need to allow to be cultivated in our life. He said, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself. Make up in your mind, I'm not letting any of this stuff move me." Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, and he ran into prophets that said, and one by the name of Agabus took his loincloth, his girdle, and said, "The man that owns this girdle shall be bound in Jerusalem." And Paul, even after hearing that, he said, "None of these things move me." See, he was set on a course of destiny. He was going to obey God, whatever the cost. He didn't fear his life. He didn't fear death. Amen. He overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and he didn't fear death. He said, "None of these things move me." Amen. "I count not my life dear unto myself." See, when you get beyond you, then you can get set on the course. Whether people treat you right or whether they treat you wrong, whether things are favorable or not favorable, whether you have to go through, amen, or whether you're down and out, it doesn't matter. You are set. Look at somebody telling them, set yourself. The word that God sent to the prophet, he said, first of all, set yourself. Don't hide. Don't run. Don't be afraid. Don't back up. Set yourselves. He says next, stand. Stand still. Stand still. A war horse, in going into a battle, arrows are flying. Or bullets. They still use horses in the Second World War. In some places they still use horses. But bullets and bombs. But the horse has been trained. Get into the midst of a battle, he's not going to throw his rider off. You know, horses, when they're afraid, they'll throw you off and they'll go to, they'll run for their life, but not a war horse. A horse that's been trained. See, when you set yourself, you can stand still. Amen. You can stand still. You can stay your course. You don't leave your bean patch, so to speak. You don't leave, you don't give up your territory. You stand still. So the first thing is set yourself. Lock into your mind that God has purposed to prosper you. Come on. He told Joshua, meditate on these things day and night. Don't let them depart from your mouth, that you may prosper and have good success. So you set yourself on that in spite of what the markets like might look like. In spite of how shaky the economy might be. In spite of what experts are saying don't do. Stay focused on the Lord. Tell somebody, set yourself. You know, when we talk about mindsets, it's what your mind is set on. Now you can talk a good talk, but you're going to end up where your mind is set. So we need to align our words with God's word until our mind, our soul begins to prosper and align itself so that what we are saying and what we believe and what we think all are in alignment. Watch out, you become an unstoppable force. Amen. All right, so look here. He says, stand still, and then he says, see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. So three things, and God dealt with me this week about this. He said, set yourself. You know, I believe a true vision that comes from God, whether it be a building project, nations, or whatever it is bigger than you. Amen. It's something you're going to have to set yourself on. It's something you're going to have to discipline your mind to think about. Because you can't wrap your mind around it. But you're going to have to explore it. You're going to have to go into it with your mind and look at details and use your imagination rather than to frighten you to see your future. How many know God gave you your imagination to see your future? Come on. That's what imagination is for, to see your future. Not to dread your future, but to see your future. That's why little children imagine all the time. They're out there playing, you know, little guy playing with a little fire truck. Says, I want to be a fireman. Guess what? When he grows up, he's working for the fire department. Well, he had a vision. He used his imagination to that image was there in his mind. See, words, listen, words carry images. Close your eyes a moment. Picture this with me. I'm going to give you a picture. I'm going to show you this. Just these words are going to show you something. Picture, if you ever have seen Central Park or a big park where there's snow everywhere. Snow is falling down. Real beautiful white snowflakes are falling. And there's a big Christmas tree right in the middle of the park full of all different color lights. Real tall Christmas tree that's full of snow, but you can see the lights. All the color lights and they're twinkling and then the snow is falling real gently. Okay, open your eyes. Come on back here. See, some of y'all took a trip to Central Park. What words, they carry images. You close your eyes, you can imagine, you can see it. Think about it a moment. You can see your future in your present. Align it with the word of God, what God says. And you know what, God will begin to refine it and define it even to the details. See, that's the prophetic mantle on another level. How could Elisha sit in a room and see a murderer coming towards him and say, don't you hear the footsteps of this murderer? Know that the king had released him to come to murder him. How could Elisha sit in his room and send word to the king of Israel saying, don't go down the valley tomorrow because the Syrians are there waiting to ambush you? Then the next week, say, don't go down this other way because they've moved from there over to there. He hadn't left his room, but in the spirit realm. He had been with God so till he became accurate, precise on movements that were happening, shifts that were happening in heaven, that were happening on the earth. It got so bad. King of Syria said, called all his generals together. He said, now which one of y'all is a spy? Which one of y'all is giving away our position to the king of Israel? Then one of them, out of fear, said, it ain't none of us, but there's a prophet. There's someone that's moving in a prophetic dimension in Israel that he's in your bedchamber, O king. Tell me what God, see, God doesn't want us in the dark about things. I said, God doesn't want you in the dark about your destiny. We are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We waste time, energy, effort on things that don't pertain to our purpose and our assignment. So God, it's imperative that you know. That's the reason tonight we release that. Now, all you do is believe. You have to feel no goosebumps tonight. You don't have to hear a clap of thunder or anything like that. Most time when God is really moving, he's moving silently. You know, when Jesus was baptized and Jesus heard his voice, many of them just heard thunder. They couldn't discern what it was anyway. But we want to hear him. We want to know his movements. Amen? The land didn't fall at the first battle for Joshua, but the decree that was perpetuated. It perpetuated God's promise until the day of complete fulfillment. That's why the Lord says, be strong. Tell someone, be strong. Be strong. Not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. We can rest in his strength because his promise is going to come to a place of complete fulfillment. Amen. Now, I want to just touch on something, and then we're going to close here. But go with me to Matthew 16. I'm going to jump around for the sake of time. But in Matthew 16 and verse 18, there's been a shift. There's been something perpetuated by God the Father, Jesus is asking his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then Peter, by revelation from the Father, in other words, a movement in the heavenly realm, a revelation comes to Peter, and Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says in verse 17, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He says in verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He says in verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged his disciples that they should not, or should tell no man, that he was Jesus the Christ. Verse 21, from that time forth, a shift in the heaven, a word sent by God to Peter. Peter declares it. Jesus says, blessed are you. I see a shift. Let me say it that way. And it says, from that time forward. If you read from there on, their relationship changed. They got closer. They became more intimate. He began to disclose things to them he hadn't talked to them about before. Because Jesus himself saw the shift. God has spoken. Peter had released it. Jesus knew it was time. He started bringing them close to him. He said, I have to go to Jerusalem. Now, here's a tragedy. Peter had gotten that, but then Peter messed up, got in his flesh and said, these things ain't going to happen to you, you know, and began to argue with Jesus. But nonetheless, see, even with his messing up, there was something perpetuated. Something in heaven had been released in the earth. Come on, tell them, game over. See, that's why it's so important for you to release the word. Release that word that's been given to you, that you hear in your ear, that you hear God saying, release it out. When that happens, all things start to change in the earth. If we remain silent, then the prophetic move stops. That was the Old Testament strategy to stopping the movement.
We are continuing in part 7 of Transformation, Decrees, Prophetic Promises. God wants you to say what you mean and mean what you say. Jesus was not afraid of man, and therefore he spoke only what God said. It is the Christ in you that has to finish strong. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus spoke his Father's word and defeated the darkness of hell. The word of God in your mouth is just as powerful. Nothing on earth can withstand the power of God's word. You must get the word in your mouth and in your spirit. Decree and declare what God says about you and what God says about your situations. Your prophetic decrees can change atmosphere and cause you to stir up the gift.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.